The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Lemon, osmosis, carbonated.
Here we are again, because water never ceases. It's not a size of the drop, it's the persistence you're listening to, and so it flows. Your only show for H2O. I'm your Super Water Man, Ambassador for Water, here at WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Pittsfield has its own water show. How's that for cool? Cool like water, that is. We're going to have a great guest today. Great guest. John Feldman. John Feldman is a filmmaker, friend of mine, friend of show. He came out with a new film recently called Regenerating Life, and that's really what we're all about here. That's why you hear the water, because water is about life. And now we could have that conversation for life. And super psyched that he's going to be here with us, sharing about his point of view on things. He's an amazing filmmaker, so stay tuned for that. Looking forward to have him on. And going to have some really awesome music coming your way. It's an important time. It's kind of like the way I'm looking at it from a water man's perspective, Ambassador for Water. It's like you're in the backyard, on your porch, you're having tea, and it's in between like 4 a.m. and 7 a.m. on a constant loop. It's kind of like what it's like to be alive right now. And I think water best represents that wavelength that we're on. Got some tunes coming your way. You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O, bringing water conversations from the Berkshires to around the world. Super psyched about that. Got some music coming your way. Let's see what's first up on our list today. This is coming straight from our friends at King Crimson. This tune, Moonchild. A little bit kind of like my life, and a lot of water people could definitely resonate with this song. Water people unite. Little King Crimson.
Thank you. watching you for some time. Can't stop staring at those ocean eyes. Burning cities and napalm skies. 15 flares inside those ocean eyes. Your ocean.
You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. Oh, I'm here with you, causing water people around the world to unite. We're here in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, the heart of the Berkshires, where we're bringing the powerful cultural capitalism that happens here, where we put a lot of capital into our culture and bringing it around the world when it comes to the message of water. I am your Super Waterman, Ambassador for Water. I found that Billie Eilish song, Ocean Eyes, to be quite incredible. A little bit about that. I looked up the lyrics, and it really is something that people could speak to. It's quite amazing, quite amazing. A little bit about the lyrics. Let's go see if we got those here. I've been watching you for some time. Can't stop staring at those ocean eyes. Burning cities and napalm skies. 15 flares inside those ocean eyes. Your ocean eyes. No fair. You really know how to make me cry when you give me those ocean eyes. I'm scared. I've never fallen from quite this high. Fallen into your ocean eyes. Those ocean eyes speaks really to today and the perspective of life that one might be feeling these times. We started off the show with Moonchild, and as water people out there listening, to this water show. You know what it is to be a moon child. Water people of the world unite. That was by King Crimson off the Meltdown album. And Ocean Eyes was from the Don't Smile at Me album. Got some more coming up with a little bit of water news. Let's see who's up here. Oh my God, this is something about the village of Housatonic. It made the Berkshire Eagle in July a couple of months ago. Housatonic Water's manganese levels surged above the safe limit set by the state, and no one reported it. This is by Heather Bellow of the Berkshire Eagle. In Great Barrington, Housatonic residents went 2 months this summer without knowing that the manganese levels in their drinking water had spiked above the health limit set by regulators. That's because neither the water utility and the Housatonic Water Works nor two of the testing labs reported these July 24, 2024 results for manganese until Massachusetts Department of Environmental Protection noticed they were missing and asked for them roughly 1 month later. The DEP made the report and its violation notice public last week. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on in the village of Housatonic. Berkshire Eagle and Heather Bellow do a great job in following what's going on. And, you know, in my worldview, which is really in a blue world that we live in, green in some areas, brown on some of those windy rivers, what you're looking at here is people coming to terms with the issues that water has around the country, in our own hometowns, in our own little villages, and how much money there is to, you know, start siphoning away from those who will send it in places around the world to make a mess of things back home to give people access to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And that is a bit of extra editorial. That wet editorial was provided by yours truly, your Super Waterman ambassador for water. We got more music coming your way. And this is a little shout out to some of my new Colombian friends who I met at the recent Festival Latino in Great Barrington. Un saludo a mis amigos colombianos que conocí en el reciente Festival Latino. That's my Spanglish for you. With the help of Google Translate and So It Flows, your only show for H2O. And a little shout out to my Colombian friends with this new recent song by Carol G singing Ocean.
Si algún día te vas de casa, yo te llevo a la NASA. Pido un cohete y voy directo por ti. Y si no estoy y algo te pasa, recuerda que todo en la vida cambia. Y no importa lo que pase, te prometo no faltarte. Me siento grande por ti. Y aunque lo intentara no podría sin ti. Toda mi felicidad es gracias a ti. Y si yo me muero volvería por ti. Me siento grande por ti. Y aunque lo intentara no podría sin ti. Toda mi felicidad es gracias a ti. Y si yo me muero volvería por ti. Por ti. Se quedan cortas las palabras realmente. Y a Dios le doy gracias porque estás aquí presente. Quiero que sepas que te amo eternamente. Que cuando dije sí lo dije para siempre. A tu lado todo no es perfecto pero sí mejor. Y cada detalle tuyo es mejor que el anterior. Aquella canción. Y cuando decoras con rosas mi habitación. Vamos a enseñarle al mundo lo que es amor. Tú y yo podemos juntos, porque amo todas las locuras de tu mente. Y así me encanta presumirte ante la gente. Me siento grande por ti, y aunque lo intentara no podría sin ti. Toda mi felicidad es gracias a ti, y si yo me muero volvería por ti. Me siento grande por ti, y aunque lo intentara no podría sin ti. Toda mi felicidad es gracias a ti, y si yo me muero volvería por ti.
Compared to the sun. I'm just a normal boy that sank when I fell overboard. My ship would leave the country, but I'd rather swim ashore. Without a life, this I'd be stuck again. Wish I was much more masculine. Maybe then I could learn to swim like
14 miles away.
Now floating up and down, I spin colliding into sound. Like whales beneath me diving down, I'm sinking to the bottom of my everything that freaks me out. The lighthouse gleam has just run out. I'm cold as cold can be. Be.
I wanna swim away but don't know how. Sometimes it feels just like I'm falling in the ocean. Let the waves.
Believe me, how can I keep up this breathing? Not knowing how to think, I scream aloud, begin to sink. My legs and arms are broken down, within before the solid ground. I'm reaching for the life within me. How can one man stop his ending? I thought of just your face, relaxed and floated into space.
I wanna swim away but don't know how. Sometimes it feels just like I'm falling in the ocean.
What I had done, like jumping from the bow, yeah, just to prove that I knew how, yeah. It's midnight's late reminder of the loss of her, the one I love. My will to quickly end it all, set front row in my need to fall. Into the ocean, end it all, into the ocean, end it all, into the ocean, end it all, into the ocean, end it all.
You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2OO. A little bit about the H2OO. Not only is it two O's, it says H2O. So H2OO. Plus, the way we're treating it now, we should probably refer to OO until it gets back to the O. And O is a step up. So right now it's H2OO. And So It Flows is your only show for H2O. We're over here at WTBR FM 89.7, WTBR Pittsfield Community Radio. And it's really a place where you can come and unite for your love of H2O. Super psyched. In a couple of minutes, we're going to have John Feldman talking about his new film that's going to be showing this coming spring in our area. So come on down for that. It's going to be during a whole month of events from World Water Day to Earth Day, bringing a National Water Summit. Let's see if we could create something like that where we can actually dance at the evolution that we create for water. Totally there. Totally down with you. Totally under the water. So a little bit into the ocean we had there, Blue October. We also had Ape Man, who sailed to distant shores. If you're paying attention to the lyrics, you might be thinking, you know, how is Ape Man a water song? Well, number one, he needs to be in a jungle, so jungles have lots of water. Number two, he has to drink something which has some water relationship. I'm sure the liquid life that the Ape Man is speaking to or grunting at is really about H2O. So, you know, and he sailed across the shores. It's all about water. And then before that, we had Ocean by Carol G. A little shout out to the Hispanic community in our region and around the world, the whole Latin diaspora. That was out for you. There you go. Carol G, great, from Colombia. Amazing, amazing singer. And we got a little bit of a poetry space coming at you right here. Storm at Sea by Frank Dux. D like David, U like Ulysses, X like xylophone. Losing my way, one heaving stormy night, I blundered onto the bridge where perhaps I was not meant to be, and there took fright. The wheel unattended, no one there. Who keeps the watch? My former naval voice called out, unheard by winking, clicking instruments. Green water shuddered ship and me. I sensed my body, then the self-adjusting beat of pumping blood, the intake and exhaust of breath, which all was being done for me, as has for decades, faultlessly. So where and when do I come in? The tossed and trembling ship? And when and who is meant to man it? And who or what has just composed this sonnet? That's Frank Dux, Storm at Sea. A special shout out to poetrysociety.org.uk. That's who compiled that awesome poem. So thanks. Shout out to you from our water-loving fans around the world, Frank. That's a really, really, really cool. Water people unite. It's what's going to bring the planet back together, so, and allow us to fall apart at the same time. It's all good. That's what happens in water. All of it and none of it, all at the same time. So, and so it flows. Super psyched to be with today in studio, my friend of show, John Feldman, will be speaking a little bit about his new film, Regeneration. You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O.
Show for H2O. Oh, two O's in H2O. I'm your Super Waterman, Ambassador for Water. I'm sitting here in lovely Austerlitz with a friend of mine, John Feldman, who's a filmmaker. He's one of the founders of Hummingbird Films. He's a writer, director, editor, maker of many films. And Austerlitz, tell me, John, where are we, Austerlitz?
So we're in the Mid-Hudson Valley. We're about 2 hours north of New York City, and half an hour from Great Barrington, half an hour from Hudson, New York.
Yeah, there were parts of Columbia County, New York, which is where we are, Columbia County, that were at one point part of Massachusetts. And since And So It Flows is on a Berkshire County radio station, WTBR, we're neighbors, basically. We're just right next door to each other. And we're sitting by an amazing pond on your property. the films I've seen from you have a lot of environmental care or a lot of environmental concern. Tell people a little bit about that history.
So I've been making films for, since I was 13, right? So that's, I hate to say it, almost 60 years. That's a lot of years. And my first films were always nature films. I was a little nature boy. You know, I was the kid out there in the woods with the binoculars when I was 13, 14, 15. And then I kind of morphed into the photographer kid, right? I was the editor of the yearbook, and I was a kid who was always running around with the camera. But I've always been making nature films, and I have a degree in biology. At a certain point, I drifted into more experimental films, and then for a long time, I was making independent feature fiction films, theatrical films. But around about in the 1990s, when digital video came out, I made a film called Who the Hell is Bobby Roos, which is an independent film, and it won several awards. And I was down in Ecuador, where it won an award, and I got in touch with some people there, and they invited me years later to make a film on the Galapagos about evolution. And so at that point, that was, I think, 2005, at that point, I switched entirely to documentaries about science.
Wow.
Basically.
Cool, cool. I mean, that Galapagos is great. Was it pro or anti for what was the Galapagos film? What was the name of it?
It was called 10 Questions Everyone Should Ask About Evolution.
Okay. Was it pro-evolution?
The pro-con evolution question is no longer germane as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
And this was all talking to people about evolution, and it was for schools. And it looked at the process of evolution, the history of evolution, Darwin. And the interesting thing about that is while I was there making that film, and that film came out and it was distributed to schools all over the country through the National Science Teachers Association, but I met a woman scientist, Lynn Margulis.
And I've heard her name.
Yeah, and the controversy about evolution these days, although that's kind of settled now too, is really about whether it's about competition or collaboration. And most of us were brought up with the idea that evolution was about survival of the fittest and the whole idea of the gene-centered evolution. And Margulis pretty well showed, and I cover this in my film Symbiotic Earth, that no, evolution is really more about collaboration than competition, and that the idea that of survival of the fittest really only applies to humans. And then from that, I made other films and have just made this Regenerating Life film.
Wow. Okay. So the film you just made, you said Regenerating Life. So, I mean, that's really interesting about the whole ask 10 questions of, you know, about 10 questions you should ask about evolution and the whole idea of the context of evolution being survival of the fittest as an unthought of assumption or background conversation or context.
Right.
That's amazing. Imagine if it was collaboration and cooperation. Then everything we learned about it could be questioned. And what happens then? Do we then, freak out that competition isn't that thing that we need to be doing all the time, and then we find other ways to act so we can be collaborative and keep all the species going? And that's a really interesting point.
I mean, that's definitely the point, is that evolution is about collaboration.
Yeah.
And I mean, I could go into detail. Yeah, but I don't
I like
to
it.
Know.
I don't want to belabor the evolution point. I do want to talk about the context aspect because it really relates to your new film quite a bit as well. And that's a film called Regenerating Life.
Right.
And if you're just joining us, we're having a conversation. I am your super waterman, ambassador for water. We're here at WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. And I am the host of And So It Flows, the only show for H2O. Oh. And I was saying to some of my listeners for the last several weeks, I'm going to be continuing to call it H2OO when we start treating water in a different context. But right now it's in the OO stage. But let's get to your film. Hummingbird Films, John Feldman, filmmaker. You just put out a new film called...
Regenerating Life.
Regenerating Life. Okay. So what does that mean to you, Regenerating Life? That just the title itself.
So the amazing thing about life is that it's a regenerative process. Life grows.
Kind of like the worm experiment in school where it got off its tail and it, different kind. I don't know what kind
point,
of worm.
To a point.
And it regenerates.
But it's a process which is defined as a process that regenerates itself. And... And the conclusion of the film is that in order to solve the climate crisis, we have to work to regenerate life in all capacities. Regenerate communities, regenerate the fields, regenerate the water, regenerate the small water cycle,
regenerate
the forests.
The reason to work like a community, just the reason itself, like regenerate the whole... It's like life 101.
Right, and it is not something we can do alone because we can't. We have to work with nature. Nature does it all by itself, but we've destroyed nature so much that we can give it a little helping hand.
Yeah, for sure. I get that. That's
so Regenerating Life, the title, it's got kind of two meanings. One is regenerating life as something humans can help do. And the other is a description of life. What type of life is it? It's regenerating life.
Yeah. So you're out there also defining it. I find that really important because, you know, I personally come from an activist, somewhat of an activist background, you know, a marketer for sustainability, so to speak. But the bottom line is it's never defined. I think defining it is a really important thing because people will, you say one word to them, they'll come back 100 people with 100 different opinions of what was just said, that one word and what it means. So defining it helps be responsible for it. Do you agree?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And we are a part of it. We are not outside of life. We are inside of life, so to speak. And so we regenerate ourselves. I mean, every minute we're getting new skin cells, new liver cells, you know, all the time we're regenerating ourselves. But we also have responsibility to regenerate each other, to regenerate the communities, to help one another, so forth and so on.
Yeah.
Just as all the animals.
It's an opportunity. I see that really of value as an opportunity. If I could see something that I'm doing in my life that's not working and I acknowledge it, then I have access to something else. I could still go back to the unworkability space and just say, hey, I'm going to create this unworkable thing and I don't care because that's who I am. However, if you pause like we're doing here right by the water here in lovely Austerlitz, you can actually just, take a moment and shift something, which is regenerating a whole other area.
Exactly.
So, you know, regenerating a new way of being. And that's pretty amazing. That's evolution. that's like, you know, doing things just because it's in our, I don't know if that's the right word, limbic system, or some kind of like it's a involuntary like breathing. Right. To the point of, oh, voluntary, I could hold my breath or I could breathe deeper. That's the interruption portion. You could create a whole new practice. Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about water.
Yeah. I think that's a large part of your film, right?
So when I, the first line of the film, let's see if I can get it right, is, when I started this film about the causes and solutions to the climate crisis, I had no idea.
Wait, rock the boat moment. Go ahead.
I had no idea I would be spending so much time looking at water. That's the opening line. That was, I think, my biggest discovery, that when you look at what we call the climate crisis and the things that we label as symptoms of the climate crisis, they're all about water. Hurricanes, floods, droughts, heat spells, wildfires, they're all about water or lack of water.
Uh-huh.
And there are lots of people who are studying this and lots of people who are... have been attributing climate crisis to water.
I have that you triggered something, a question. So does that, okay, let's say you have a lack of water somewhere and then is it that and an abundance of water somewhere else and it's out of balance?
Right.
Will it try and balance itself? Do you think? Is that a thing or am I just...
Well, the water on the planet cycles within itself. That's the small water cycle, right? There are two water cycles. There's a small water cycle, which is the water on the land, and there's the large water cycle, which is the flow of water from the ocean to the land and then back again. And certainly on the land, because of the soil, which is a buffer, which holds water, good soil, healthy soil, living soil, then there is a system in place that balances the water in different areas. And the key thing is that when the rain comes down, there has to be a system to keep it on the land. And that is what the beavers did.
You mean pavement all the time doesn't work?
I'm afraid not. Uh-oh. Pavement and great big pipes and stuff just sends it back. I mean,
there's a film on how in China, this is like a TIFF. Film festival, that's if you're into films, that's a big deal up in Toronto, and they had the show, I think it was Water or something like Water, how the amounts of the mega projects to push water around instead of working with the already existing hydromorphology, which is how water works,
right? In association with the soil and the animals and the trees and the plants and so forth and so on.
Yeah. That's great. That's great. So have you got... Okay, so we're here speaking with John Feldman of Hummingbird Films, tiny little bird. But John is huge in filmmaking. The bird is small, but it's fast and it drinks sugar.
And everybody likes to watch it.
And likes to watch it and it hums. So here in Austerlitz, right by a little pond that he has, bottom line is, have you gotten any pushback on the context shift? There are folks, according to my friend Manna Joe Green, the former Clearwater director for Hudson River Sloop Clearwater, one of the largest environmental groups in the United States. She said there are people who believe in climate change, there are people who are going to don't believe it, and there are people who think we're going to die tomorrow. So what about, is this a belief, disbelief, or is it just a different way of looking at it?
So it's not a belief, disbelief. It's just a different way of looking at it. And it's a scientific as opposed to a political approach to the problem of climate.
Do you get into any of the growing stuff? Because I think Vandana Shiva is one of your
you know, one
totally.
Of your
we
coverage.
Go into agriculture, we go into soil.
What, can you talk to me about what she said about the Green Revolution and how interestingly non-green it was?
Well, that's the whole part of the film,
Don't do any spoiler alert things. But
no,
just like,
I don't. You... There's no spoiler alerts because it's a type of film that you want to watch a couple times anyway. So Vandana, you know, was made us aware of the Green Revolution and the problem with corporations trying to own seeds.
Oh,
remember that?
Come on, I love it. It happens right around here. Monsanto has a lot of seed in the ground. And then, you know, depending on who you talk to, that sounds kind of gross.
And so she's been coming down on the corporate control of food and agriculture all over the world by people like Bill Gates, by the Rockefeller Foundation. I'm not supposed to say that.
No, you can.
You know, I think she's drawn a lot of people's attention to it. To the problem with food. You know, in this country, we don't call it the Green Revolution, but it was the same thing. It was the idea that in order to grow lots of food to feed the growing population, we had to have serious chemicals, serious fertilizers, and serious pesticides.
Where does that end up going? Does that go into water?
That all goes down into the water. Most of it goes into the water.
That's gross, guys. Okay, so here's the thing. With the Rockefeller Foundation, I can say I got a connection. My dad was a hotel consultant for David and the Chase Manhattan Company at the time. It made him a lot of money. So the bottom line, I would say, is David... we got to give up some of that control because life, if we have kids, we realize we can't control much. Not
true.
Really.
That's
but,
true.
You know, we could try and control what we have control over, but sometimes it's good to give up control and trust the process.
But I think that people should, you know, just bouncing back to water a little bit, should really begin to understand how water governs the temperature of the planet. I mean, most people aren't aware that water is the most dominant greenhouse gas, and that, you know, the what water does is it takes heat away from the earth through the process of evaporation and transpiration, and that cools the planet. It's the primary
off-gasser.
Huh?
Whoa, it's an off-gasser. So you mean we don't need...
Well, the gas doesn't leave the planet.
Yeah, so we don't
only
need
the heat
these
does.
Forever chemicals to cool things down. We can actually just...
We don't... All we have to do to cool things down is grow plants, grow trees. If we had trees back along the coasts, particularly the West Coast, if we took 200 years to grow those trees back, we would not have these fires, we would not have these floods... We have to, of course, build back the soil. I mean, the basic things that I talk about are building back the trees because they cool the planet, building back the soil, living soil with lots of little critters in it, because that holds the water and that mitigates against floods and droughts.
And don't grow your food with chemicals.
And don't grow your food because that kills the insects and
yeah, and the microbes. They need.
Microbes
they need.
In the soil.
You know, we gotta do a serious.
And the third part is to rebuild the small water cycle. There are people who are doing this. That's physical work of building back the streams that meander through the mountains and down and everything, and they get water into the soil, and all these different plants and animals grow there, and that keeps the water on the land. You know, people talk a lot about the lack of fresh water, but if you go down and look at a place that's had a storm or a flood or a hurricane right now, there's plenty fresh water, and that water is coming to the land. And the problem is we don't hold on to it. We just get rid of it.
Exactly. It goes, that's why it did what it did, I would say.
So if we held on to it.
It's engineered to do that in more urban areas to just flow so it becomes less of a nuisance.
We have to get rid of it.
It's like a nuisance instead of an opportunity. So we're 21 minutes into our awesome interview. I'm sitting here. I am Leslie. I am the H2O ambassador. Super Waterman, Hear It and So It Flows, the only show for H2O. We also have a Spotify playlist of all water songs, so check that out. Same name, Give Water a Place in the Culture. I am sitting here with John Feldman, filmmaker, founder of Hummingbird Films, talking about climate shifts in a different way. And here's one thing. Next April, I'm organizing a huge series of events culminating in a Pittsfield National Water Summit. And it's cool. Bold, but cool. Yeah, why not? Let's do it. Let's be part of the solution. You said you would show your film. And yes. And I want to thank you for that. And one thing that we do definitely want to do is to find out how people could find out more about you, participate in some of your film activities, and what way of contact is there?
So just go to hummingbirdfilms.com, and
small fast birds, very small fast birds. Hummingbirdfilms.com,
and the film is called Regenerating Life. And you can find ways to see it there. You can find listings of screenings that are coming up. We'll list your screenings on there when they're scheduled. And you can always go and rent the film at Amazon.com, Regenerating Life, or you can go to Vimeo.com. If you're in a different country, it's in whatever, 8 languages so far.
You don't need a VPN to watch it. It's good. It still hasn't been censored. That's good.
It hasn't been censored.
That's good.
Although we do have an educational version, which I had to bleep out 2 words.
Uh-oh, bleep.
Yeah, I had to bleep them out. George Carlin said a couple words that he shouldn't have said, but he says them so often that I figured no one would need me to bleep George Carlin. But I did have to bleep George Carlin.
That's so, too bad. So yeah. In the meantime, thanks for being on the show. Thanks for sharing about your vision for water and what you think. And in the meantime, also thanks for participating in the National Water Summit coming up in April. And in the meantime, just thank you. Take care.
Okay.
And enjoy Austerlitz.
Good. You want to go swimming now?
Let's go. Cold plunge.
Into any store, you'll pay a buck or even more for water, bottled water. If my grandpa were here today, he'd think that we were nuts to pay for water, bottled water. It falls for free out of the sky. The ocean's full, yet still we buy it by the case at Walmart. Bottled water. I'll never understand, but I'd like to meet the man who came up with the plan to bottle up and sell us water. I'm sure his wife said it'll never fly. He said, I bet it will, and here's the reason why. We won't sell just plain old water, but mountain spring, low sodium from Colorado or Canadian water. But where it comes from, no one knows. Could just be a garden hose in Detroit. I'm sure I'd be a millionaire if I could bottle up some air and call it bottled oxygen. Sell beside their bottled water.
You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. Oh, check us out on most of your major podcast platforms. We show up as a music podcast, but you, my water lovers, know it's way much more than that. Way much more. Way much more. We bring water outside the cup, outside. And yeah, the only water podcast from Pittsfield, Massachusetts, the Commonwealth of, the place where liberty was founded. Not exactly right here, but you know, Commonwealth of Massachusetts and all that stuff, revolution, evolution, all that stuff. And super psyched to be with you today. And again, thanks again for being with us. We got another tune coming your way, but before that, Jacques Cousteau said the following: we forget that the water cycle and life cycle are one. And this quote actually highlights the importance of water in the web of life on Earth and how every drop of water plays a vital role. Thanks again for tuning in. Meet us next week when we bring you some more water consciousness straight from the Berkshires.
Beyond the sea, somewhere waiting for me, my lover stands on golden sands and watches the ships that go sailing. Somewhere beyond the sea, she's there watching for me. If I could fly like birds on high, then straight to her arms I'd go sailing. It's far beyond a star, it's near beyond the moon. I know beyond a doubt, my heart will lead me there. Shore, we'll kiss just as before. Happy we'll be beyond the sea, and never again I'll go sailing. Ah. Just as before, happy we'll be beyond the sea, and never again I'll go sailing. No more sailing, so long sailing.
Thanks again for tuning in to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. See you soon. Check us out on podcast. Your only show for H2O.
Sparkling water, lemon, osmosis, carbonated, filtered, distilled. See? In trouble. Water. Water. Water.
in the abundance of water, the fool will get thirsty.